Hello, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m., or you can get more information by looking at our website, tulsafbc.org. May the Lord bless you this week.
Our scripture reading today comes from John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and told him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph, from Nazareth." "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael asked him. "Come and see," Philip answered. Then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you," Jesus answered. "Rabbi," Nathanael replied, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus responded to him, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "Truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Lord God, save us from our prejudice. Forgive us when we miss out on the beauty of knowing you in a deeper way because we refuse to know our brothers and sisters more deeply. We claim to know that we're all made in your image, but we haven't let that truth form our hearts. Lord, remove the cloud of prejudice from our minds so that we can love people for who they are, not despite who they are. Help us to follow your Son's example of compassion and empathy. Help us to acknowledge and affirm the goodness within others, to learn their stories and bear their burdens. Help us to never hesitate to call to those around us to come and see you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much. You may be seated. Well, we're going to dive in very, very deep quickly this morning and get as spiritual as we possibly can by talking about Star Trek. So really in Star Trek, you need to understand three periods of the movies. So you had the original cast from back in the 60s. So they made some Star Trek movies in the 80s and the early 90s. That's when William Shatner was Captain Picard, Captain Kirk. And then you had the middle era, the Next Generation movies. Patrick Stewart was Jean-Luc Picard. And in the 90s, they made the second series of Next Generation movies. And then now there's the J.J. Abrams reboot of the Star Trek movies. So there's three specific periods of those Star Trek movies. But two of those periods overlap. Okay, they connected Captain Kirk and Captain Picard. The story goes that Captain Kirk was at the end of his career. He was retired. He was sitting on the bench. Other people were out having an adventure. And he felt absolutely worthless. He wasn't making a difference. He wasn't having an impact. That frustrated him at the core of his being because he was made to make a difference. And so what do you do in that situation? Well, you're transported forward in time. I've discovered that time travel is pretty much the solution for everything, okay? So Captain Kirk is brought forward in time, and he meets Captain Picard, okay? And the two go on this adventure together, and Captain Picard recruits Captain Kirk. He said, "We got this bad guy. We got to beat him. You can make a difference one more time." And he is well past his prime. But they go on this adventure together. Captain Kirk and Captain Picard finally beat the bad guy. He's dead, and Captain Kirk has been mortally wounded. And his final words to Captain Picard are this: "Did we make a difference?" And Captain Picard says, "Oh, yes, we made a difference." Sorry, give me just a second. So science fiction has hit on a very profound truth, that we all want to live to make a difference. We want to have an impact. We want to matter. And if you wonder ever why you're discouraged or depressed, it might be that you feel like you don't matter. And if you don't resonate with sci-fi, that's okay. Take the word of a sporting person who we all know, a person involved in sports and baseball. We all want to make a difference. So this teaching series that we're going to do for the next 2 months, I want to take us to the Gospel of John. It's interesting, of the four Gospels, personally speaking, John is my least favorite, but I look back over the course of my career and I have talked more from the Gospel of John than any of the other Gospels. And maybe it is my favorite, maybe I just don't know it yet, because John was a young man when he first decided to follow Jesus. He was no more than a teenager, probably the youngest of the original cast members of the disciples. Okay. And then by the time his life is over, he is the last living of the 12 disciples. He has outlived everyone else. And before he dies, he writes a gospel. He writes the story of Jesus from his standpoint. And when he starts in John chapter 1, he just opens up the fire hose and he gives us so many titles about who Jesus is. Jesus is the Logos. He is the light. He is the Lamb of God. He is the chosen of God. He is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Rabbi. He unloads all these titles. But if I were to write the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, I would add one more title, that Jesus is the difference maker. He is somebody who makes a difference. Now let's talk about just for a moment what I mean when I say a difference maker. Thomas Merton said this, and you heard Chris Matthews say this last week. It's one of my favorite quotes. He says this: we're not at peace with others because we're not at peace with ourselves. We're not at peace with ourselves because we're not at peace with God. We're not at peace with others because we're not at peace with ourselves. We're not at peace with ourselves because we're not at peace with God. If you look at your life, basically your life can be summed up in those three relationships: how you relate to God, how you relate to others, and how you relate to yourself. And the people that we look on in our lives as really having made a difference for us are people who affect those three relationships. And so throughout the Gospel of John, all the Gospel is a series of conversations where Jesus has a talk with certain people. And by the way, I'm struck by the similarities between the word conversation and conversion. Something takes place, a conversion experience happens in these conversations. Not that these people adopt a new religion, but they adopt a new relationship with God and with others and themselves because of what Jesus says. So we're going to meet a guy named Nicodemus. His relationship with God is no relationship at all. It's just a bunch of legalism. And Jesus says, you need to start from scratch again with your relationship with God. He meets the Samaritan woman who is a social outcast. She is a socially awkward individual. If that's you, you are not alone. And Jesus helps her rethink her relationship with other people. Jesus even meets a woman caught in adultery who has such a low view of herself that she's not worth anything unless she's with a man. And Jesus has her rethink her relationship even with herself. And Jesus makes a difference in the lives of these people. Jesus is the difference maker. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to phrase it in a different way here in just a moment. But has Jesus really made a difference in your life? In the way you relate to God and others and to yourself? So we're going to look at some of these radical conversations that Jesus has. And we're going to start pretty simple today. In John chapter 1, Jesus is first talking to Philip. Now, this is not the conversation that we're going to look at. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and he found Philip and told him, "Follow me." Jesus does not give Philip an idea to ponder. He does not give him an emotion to experience. He does not give him a task to accomplish. Jesus presents Philip with a person to follow. I want you to follow me. And another way of asking the question, has Jesus really made a difference in your life? Maybe another way of asking that question is, are you truly a follower of Jesus? Meaning that your primary identity is not in your nationality. Your primary identity is not in your political party. Your primary identity is not even the label that is on the front of a church. That your primary identity is this: I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put him in front of me, and I'm going to keep my eyes on him, and wherever he goes, wherever he steps, that's where I'm going to go as well. So, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes you look back on life, and you remember some of your worst mistakes. You know what I think, why I think we have a memory like that is because our worst mistakes, no matter how old they are, can still teach us something in the present moment. So one of my worst mistakes as a communicator was my freshman year in college. I took philosophy 1301. My college professor for this class was a lady who was a survivor of the Nazi occupation of France. And she hated Christians. She made that very clear on the first day. And here I'm a young business major who's going to seminary after I graduate. I'm all bright-eyed, pink cheeks, hair. Okay. So I go in, I'm going to convert her and the class, right? And so the first assignment is you give your personal philosophical statement, your personal philosophy. So I'm going to prove the existence of God in three easy points. Why no one's ever thought of these sooner, I don't know. And she and the class ripped me apart. 2 days later, it was my friend Derek Noble's turn. Derek Noble's now a black pastor in the North. And he got up, and his personal philosophy, he didn't try to prove God. He just talked about how Jesus had changed his life from a depressed, nearly suicidal person to a person of peace and hope. And when he finished, the entire class was completely silent. And I learned from that very embarrassing situation, people can argue with your ideas, but they cannot argue with your experience. And Jesus had really made a difference in his life. Now, that's kind of the impact that Jesus had on Philip. We're not told anything more about this relationship other than Jesus says, follow me. But there's a lot more else going on in the background because he's so excited. He bubbles over and he says, I've got to tell other people about him. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael. Here's who we're going to talk about today. And Jesus is going to make a difference in this guy's life. Philip found Nathanael and said, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. So Philip is bubbling over with excitement. He goes and he finds Nathanael, who he thinks will be interested in this as well. Now, the challenge of this teaching series over the next 2 months, we're going to look at people from the pages of the Gospel of John that if you've been around churches for a while, you know these stories frontward and backwards. And so the challenge for me is to up my game just a little bit and to get you to see these people as three-dimensional people, not just people on a page, but to help you recognize and realize these people are like people you know. And these people are really a lot like you as well with all their bad habits and hang-ups. There's good here, but there's also some challenges. Okay. So here's what we say we believe with all of our heart, and then we're going to jump into this conversation. We believe that every person needs the forgiveness and the freedom and the fresh start that can only be found in Jesus Christ. I don't know if you believe that or not. I have to believe that or I wouldn't be here, okay? And if you don't believe that, I don't know why you're here, okay? Because we say we believe, and I hope we really do, that every single person needs the forgiveness. Every single person needs the fresh start that only Jesus Christ can bring. But what we're going to see with Nathanael is there's some holdups to that. There's some blockages to that. All right. So Philip goes tells Nathanael, we found the one who Moses talked about in Deuteronomy 18. We should listen to him. And here's what Nathanael says. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asked him. And Philip answered, come and see. So we're going to meet Nathanael. Here's the first thing I want you to know about Nathanael. He was a snob. He was a snob, okay? He was from Bethsaida, and he didn't like people who are from Nazareth. Now, have you ever had a gut feeling about somebody? You met them, and on the surface, they looked okay, but something in your gut just told you that something was wrong. So you may not know this, but you have neurons that fire in your head, okay, that help you in your cognitive abilities. In fact, you are so wonderfully made that there are as many neurons firing in your brain right now as there are stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Trillions. Some of you a little less, but most of you trillions, okay? So not only do you have neurons in your brain, you have neurons that run down your spinal cord, and you have neurons in your gut. You have brain cells in your gut. So when you get that sense that something isn't quite right, those are actually the neurons firing, telling you something that you can't fully comprehend. And so Nathanael here has a gut reaction against Jesus because he's a snob. He's from Bethsaida, and Jesus is from Nazareth. Bethsaida played Nazareth every year in high school football. Okay, it's the Bethsaida Bulldogs against the Nazareth Knights. Bethsaida always won. Their mantra was, Bethsaida is better. In fact, people in Bethsaida thought that God blessed them with a nose so they could look down on it when they looked at Nazarenes. Nathanael was a snob. So I don't know if you've ever felt like a snob before. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were driving across rural Oklahoma, and we needed a bathroom break, so we stopped, and we went in for something to drink. And I've become addicted to mineral water, you know, Perrier and LaCroix. I've become addicted to this. So we go in, I look for the mineral water. I don't see any. And this is a rural Oklahoma convenience store, so I'm not surprised, okay? And I'm kind of reading the room. Here's the attendant, okay? The attendant is about 6'2", bald, covered with tattoos. I am not going to ask him for Perrier, okay? But my wife doesn't read the room. So she walks over to him. This is how she walks in convenience stores. Do you have any Perrier? And he goes, what? And then I promise you, he says this. He goes, you ain't from around here, are you? And he explained to us that people in that part of Oklahoma don't ask for Perrier. And so we're already in. I thought, we're in. Let's just go all in. I said, well, do you have anything even close? Kind of like bubbly water. He goes, yeah, it's called Budweiser. So I don't know what that is, but I'll take two and hit the road. Yeah. I felt like a snob, you know, asking for Perrier in rural Oklahoma. Nathanael really was a snob, okay? He was a person that looked down on Jesus. So now let me talk to those of you who are not followers of Christ right now, okay? And maybe the reason that you have discounted Christ is because you're kind of a snob. I want you to think about this. Maybe Jesus was forced down your throat when you were in school. And your parents forced you to go to church. They forced it down your throat. And you said, man, when I get out of the house, I'm never going back. I get it. I'm sorry that happened to you. Maybe you have walked away from things of faith because you have seen Jesus so grossly misrepresented. By the way, things that are going on in the Catholic Church right now, we're associated with that by default. All Christians are kind of lumped together. Some horrific things going on. People have seen Jesus so grossly misrepresented, but I want you to hear me. Other people's misrepresentation of Jesus does not excuse your responsibility to think about Jesus for yourself. Okay? People misrepresent Jesus all the time. Okay? Their irresponsibility does not excuse your responsibility to deal with Jesus for yourself. Don't be snobbish. Look at Jesus honestly, earnestly. What I love about this is when you become a Christian, you don't turn off your brain. Jesus doesn't ask Nathanael to think less. He asks Nathanael to think more. Now, not only is Nathanael, in my opinion, a snob, I'm going to take it a step further and say he was prejudiced. He had some prejudice in his life against people from Nazareth. So Missouri, back in the year 2000, had a huge legal battle on their hands. The Ku Klux Klan wanted to sponsor a stretch of highway to clean that stretch of highway that was just south of St. Louis on I-55. Now, by cleaning this stretch of highway means that the state would have to put up a sign advertising the KKK was cleaning this part of the highway, and the state didn't want to do that for very good reason. So it went through the entire judicial system, and finally the Supreme Court issued a statement. They're an organization. If they want to sponsor the road, you have to put up the sign. So that's when state officials got really creative, and they renamed that stretch of the road south of St. Louis the Rosa Parks Expressway. And all of a sudden, the KKK didn't show up. You know. Now, I don't know about you, but I love when things like that happen. Somewhere deep down, I go, yeah, that's the way it should be. And I say, you know, thank God I'm not one of those people that judges people by their race or by their gender or any of that. But the truth is, on some level, I am. And if I hate people who are prejudiced, Do you think maybe that we might be standing in the way of God's purposes for their lives as well? Snobby people need Jesus. Listen, even prejudiced people need Jesus. Every person needs the freedom and the forgiveness and the fresh start that comes from Jesus Christ. Every single person. And so what's about to happen here is Jesus sees this. He sees Nathanael's a snob. He sees that he's prejudiced. What Jesus is about to do is just blow his mind. And you're going to see it happen in a couple of stages. Nathanael's mind gets a little bit bigger, and then it really opens up. Okay, let's look at the rest of this conversation. What good can come from Sand Springs? Nazareth, sorry. Slipped out there. Was that bad to say that? What good can come from Owosso? What good can come from Arkansas? All good comes from Texas. Moving on, here we go. Listen, if you don't laugh about these things, I've told you that there's a person here in this church that has never laughed at anything I've ever said, and I'm not leaving until they laugh. My job here is very secure, I tell you that. Then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. So here's this person with the snobbery and who's prejudiced. He saw Nathanael coming toward him, but Jesus also saw the good. Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. There's integrity here, if we can tap into it. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Before Philip called you when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now let's pause here for just a second. What's going on here? Jesus has a supernatural insight into Nathanael's character. He also seems to have had a supernatural insight into the events of Nathanael's life. And there's a lot of speculation about these words. I just take them at the simple face value. Okay? It was typical that in that time, a man would have a home, and out in front of his home would be a fig tree. And the fig tree was the house was really hot, so a person would go out and pray under the fig tree in the morning. And for a Jewish man, what he would often pray is for the Messiah. Send the Messiah. And just before Philip went to Nathanael, Nathanael had been praying this very prayer, God, bring the Messiah to deliver your people. And Jesus says, before you even saw me, I saw you. I heard your prayer this morning. Not only did I hear your prayer, I am the answer to your prayer. Me. We believe every person needs the freedom and the forgiveness and the fresh start that only Jesus can bring. Now, I'm going to ask you to listen to this next part very carefully, because I almost cut this when I did my Friday morning rehearsal. I almost cut this part. And if you're not careful, you're going to misunderstand this. So I want you to listen very, very carefully here. Some people will tell you that all religions are the same. Anyone who tells you that has not done any reading whatsoever. Religions are very different in what they believe and what the goal is and what the values and priorities and what you hope to accomplish in a person's life. They're all very, very different. But if there is a way in which all religions are the same, it is this. That religions say, here is how you can work to find God. Here's the part I don't want you to misunderstand. Even when we take this thing of following Jesus and turn it into religion, you know what? When we take this thing of following Christ and codify it into some kind of religion, it becomes the same as every other religion. Here is how you need to work to find God. And in that way of all religions being the same, I believe that all religions are wrong. Because there is no way for you to find God. Here is where Jesus is radically different and where this is beyond religion. Jesus is not a prophet who has come to tell us how we can find God. He is God who has come to find us. I want you to hear that again. That Jesus is not some prophet who has come to tell you how you can find God. He is God who has come to find you, and he wants to make a difference in your life. He wants to change the entire way that you relate to God. That, you know what, I love this last part here, that before you were even thinking about God, God saw you. Changes the way we relate to other people because we're at peace with God. We can have peace with others. and we can finally have peace with ourselves. Jesus becomes your difference maker, and you become a difference maker in the lives of others. So Nathaniel's life just got a little bit bigger, okay? And you see it get bigger here. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. This snobby, prejudiced person who has a small worldview all of a sudden sees Jesus as the Messiah. But that's just the first stage. Jesus is about to blow his mind up a whole lot more. This is not just about Jesus being king of a parochial group of people. He says this. He says, not only this, Nathaniel, do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see even greater things than these. Truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus is making reference here to Genesis chapter 28, where Jacob has a dream, the father of the Israelite people, and he saw a ladder connecting heaven and earth. Jesus says, I'm that ladder. I connect heaven and earth. I'm not just the king of the Jews. I'm the king of all people. Every single person needs the forgiveness and the freedom and the fresh start that can only be found in Jesus. And you may say, Darren, that is a small view of the world to say that everyone needs Jesus. I would contend it's not a small view of the world. It's a big view of God, that Jesus becomes our difference maker. So I've mentioned this before, and whenever a church member goes to New York, y'all are kind enough to take a picture of this. You don't have to in the future. I've been there. I've seen it. Stop sending your pictures. The next time you go to New York, go outside St. Patrick's Cathedral. Right across the street is that statue of Atlas. You know what I'm talking about. Huge man who's bearing the weight of the world on his shoulders. That's the way most of us choose to live, right? But then you go into St. Patrick's Cathedral, and you go behind the high altar. And in fact, if you're standing behind the high altar and the doors of St. Patrick's are open, you see another statue here right in front of you, and you can actually see Atlas out the front door. You can see both statues in the same frame. This is a statue of the boy Jesus, maybe 7 or 8 years old. And instead of holding the world on his shoulders, he's holding the world with ease in one cupped hand. It almost looks like he could play with it like this, you know. And so I would ask you today, which one better describes you? Are you carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? It's not yours to carry, and you can't do it. But when we give our world to Jesus, he can hold it right here in one cupped hand. Your whole world. And he makes a difference in your relationship with God, your relationship with others, and the relationship with yourself. And that difference is peace. Let's stand together and let's pray together today. So I want to just stop and give you a moment to talk with God. I'm going to be quiet for just a moment, and I'm going to ask you one question. I think this is the most important question that we could ask this morning. Are you truly a follower of Jesus? Would you just, no in between, this is not about whether you attend a church or not. Are you a follower of Jesus? Yes or no? You talk to God about that for just a moment. If the answer is yes, then there will be peace in your relationship with him and others and yourself. But maybe you don't have that today, and you would have to answer an honest, not yet, not yet. There's only one word that you need to say, yes. And if you've never invited Jesus Christ to be in your life, every person, even you, needs the forgiveness and freedom and fresh start that is only found in him through his death and resurrection. Maybe in the deepest place in your heart this morning, you would say yes. So Jesus, you made a difference in Nathaniel's life, and we believe that you can still make a difference in lives today. I pray that you would get past our own snobbishness, our own prejudice, our own small view of the world, that everyone should be like us because we're the best, to get beyond that, to get over ourselves, and to get in touch with you. That Jesus, we thank you for your freedom that you bring, the forgiveness that you offer, the fresh start that you put right in our laps. May we seize that completely. Jesus, we love you. And I pray that as you have made a difference in our lives, that we would be difference makers in the lives of others. And Jesus, I pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. Every Sunday morning at the conclusion of worship, I offer this blessing to our people, and so I offer it to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.